Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, the MSS crew is back and on the attack here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, February 4th, 2017, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another exciting and super exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. As I said it again, folks, we are here as promised, and you knew how to find us, where to find us, and when. So, I would just like to take the time to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, and he just so happens to be one of our other Canadian mother Canuckers, Mad Max Crawford. Yep, if you didn't guess it already, Mad Max is back in the studio in front of the microphone getting ready to bring to you his particular brand of OTR surprises. So, why don't we all just sit back, grab our favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program, because I think Mad Max is about to release his war dogs. Okay, Maxwell, the microphone is yours. Take it away, little buddy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maxwell, here to welcome you to Michael's Saturday Surprise for Saturday, February the 4th, 2017. Tonight, we will bring you an hour and 20 minutes of science fiction adventure. Let us begin our first radio program. It's called Captain Star of Space, entitled The Queen Nilo Incident. Sit back and enjoy the show.
From out of the future comes Star of Space! Hey, 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 hey.
Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Report for special space mission.
Nova City Spaceport to Spaceship Shooting Star.
Sergeant Stripes on Spaceship Shooting Star. Come in, Nova City.
Prepare to blast.
Roger. Now we're all set, Captain Star.
Good, Stripes. I'll take over.
Gail, all set.
Right. Forward scanner open. You're clear for blast, Skipper.
Port's locked.
Port's locked.
We're okay for blast, Nova City.
File building up.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release!
What was our last reading, Spice?
Well, let's see. One Esperon off Xyron Parallax.
All course.
All course. You know, we've never blasted along the space lane before, Skipper.
Oh, no.
Matter of fact, the universe space lane maps advise against following this lane.
Yeah, I know.
Then what are we doing following it?
Orders.
Okay, I can take a hint. So you don't want to tell me what our mission is?
Well, I can't.
Oh, real top secret stuff.
Oh, no. I don't know what it is.
One of those trips, huh?
Yeah, one of those trips.
Yeah, one of those trips.
Slow rockets, Stripes.
Slow rockets.
Skipper, check number 2 scanner, hurry.
I'm on number 2 scanner now, Gail.
I'm picking up a slight distress signal from it.
We're getting the signal. I'm here now.
Well, what is it?
Well, it looks like a spaceship, yet it doesn't.
That must be it.
It must? I mean, what must be what?
Gail, stand by to establish orbit for our ship.
You mean we're going to board the ship?
Yes, Gail.
But...
Stripes, you'll stand by here with the blast restraint on the ship. If Gail and I aren't back in 30 minutes, start blasting.
Yes, sir. You know, Skipper, this mission reminds me of rockets.
How's that, Spence?
Flip the switch. Get in the boat.
See anything, Skipper?
Nothing. Let's go this way.
It looks like a ghost ship almost. So many things have been stripped, see? Panels have been taken out, and so have some of the equipment.
Yeah, somebody wanted to make sure that the ship would never leave its orbit. Oh, here's the door. Get behind me. And use your blaster if you have to. Zyron race.
Why does he have that outlandish headgear on?
Zyron's lung structure differs from ours. They breathe with the aid of a special apparatus that's housed in the headgear.
Is he alive?
I don't know. Hey, look.
The headgear's been tampered with.
Well, he seems to be reacting to the oxygen capsule.
It's hard to tell with all that weird contraption covering his face.
Earthman. Earthman.
Yes. Yes, we're Earth people. I'm Captain Star. This is Gale Archer.
My name is Talon. I am from Zion.
Our scientific space department picked up your distress signal and gave it to me. I'm with Space Fleet.
I have heard of you, Captain Star. I have a little time left to live. Must talk fast.
Well, what do you mean?
Evil one, destroy my breathing apparatus in headgear. Then leave me to die here in space.
Who are the evil ones?
Outlanders. Men who look much like yourself.
The space criminals.
Yeah. They escaped from Solar Federation prison a few months ago.
My people are seekers of truth, like your people, Earthman. Outlanders plan to use my people and their invention for evil purposes. You must stop them, Captain.
Stop them? From what?
My people have invented new ray machine. This machine can do much good for people of the universe, but can also destroy life as well as help it. You will find plans and other information in Strongbox in operations room. Study them well. My sister, Queen Nilo, will help you.
What was that, Skipper?
Hey, Skipper, the airlocks on our ships are pulling apart.
Secure your airlocks, Dykes.
Yeah, but how are you going to
get... Never mind. Secure your airlock and follow us down.
The ship pulled apart, Skipper.
Help me with this control, Gale. I'll switch over to yours.
But there isn't any firing lever.
Just guide us. If we can find a clearing, we'll glide in.
Well, judging from that jagged terrain below, that's a big if, Skipper.
Sergeant Stripes on Shooting Star. Come in, Captain Star. Oh, doggone it. Sergeant Stripes on Shooting Star to Captain Star. Come in.
This is Star.
Oh, are you okay, Captain?
Yes, yeah, we found a clearing.
Well, look, I've spotted one about, I'd say about 5 Earth miles from where you sat down.
Oh, good. Now, listen, when you land, contact us. We can't leave the ship without spacesuits. There's no oxygen on this satellite.
Okay, look, I'll bring your suits along. Tell me, are there any communicators aboard that ship?
No, none, Stripes, none.
Well, maybe I can work mine through your panel board so I can be in constant touch with you when I leave this ship. I won't promise, though.
Yeah, well, try it. Oh, and Stripes.
Yeah?
Every minute counts. The atomic fuel's leaking in this ship. Atomic radiation will be setting in a few hours.
Going down, Skipper.
Yes, I know. I hear the plans that Talon told us about here.
is still on deck.
Yeah. About 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, Ante, what a lot of other conscientious people have done throughout the history of our universe. He gave his own life so that others might live. That's why we must stop the Outlanders from using the ray machines so that Talon would not have died in vain.
What is the ray machine, Skipper?
A machine that will harness electrical powers and convert them into useful channels. It can also be used to destroy, as Talon told us. Burns all the life in the ray's path.
Is it that powerful?
Yeah. The Outlanders use it against Earth, well, they could...
Skipper, listen. The atomic indicator stopped.
Well, we only have about an hour before atomic radiation sets in.
We haven't heard from Stripes in over 2 hours now.
The rig he thought might work with his communicator wasn't usable then.
But why did the two ships pull apart anyway?
Whoever left the ship last probably fixed the airlock so that it wouldn't hold for long, just in the event someone did discover the ship.
Oh, I'm scared, Skipper.
I know, but... Well, Stripes will be here soon.
Yeah, that's right. Stripes will be here soon.
What are you doing, Gail?
Just making sure that Stripes does get here, Skipper. I'm saying a little prayer.
Come in, Queen Nilo. I'll be very brief, Queen Nilo. From now on, there'll be no queen here on Xyron.
Oh, what do you mean?
You're announcing to your people that I'm going to become ruler of this planet.
I don't understand. My brother Talon welcomed you here to our planet. You have been treated well.
You missed the point. I like it here. So much that I intend to stay. Your people are very smart, Queen Nilo, and I can use them. They can invent many things that can be useful to me.
My people use their talents for all people of the universe.
Yes, they have until now. Take that ray machine, for instance. With it, I can soon control Earth. And whoever controls Earth controls the universe. Now, do you understand?
Yes. You are evil. You and your men are evil thoughts. When my brother Talon returns,
he... You'll wait a long time, Queen Nilo. Your brother is dead by now. He was foolish. He's going to turn my men and myself over to the Earth Authority.
Nilo will never do as you ask, Adak.
Very well. Until you do as I say, you'll be my prisoner. You have 24 Earth hours to make your decision. If you don't do as I ask, then your people will suffer.
Look, then we better turn around and take her back to Earth.
We can't. We don't have that much time.
Oh.
According to Talon's plans, we found the ray machine and we put into operation within the next 24 Earth hours.
I see.
That means we only have a little time to stop the Outlanders from getting control of it.
Yeah, but what about Gale, Skipper?
Well, look, you were in Gale's place and had the same situation facing you. Did you want us to take you back to Earth?
Okay. I think I know what Gale would want.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
The oxygen treatment that you gave her should revive her. I'm sure it isn't atomic poisoning.
Well, I hope not. Well, look, we can't notify Xyron spaceport that we're coming.
No. Now we'll have to find a landing spot outside of their main city.
Yeah. Skipper, you said the Xyronians were great inventive people.
Yeah. But they never think of using their inventions for any other purpose than good.
Uh-huh.
That's why it'd be easy for the Outlanders to move in on them. They're very unassuming people.
Well, who do you think's in charge of the Outlanders?
Well, it's just a guess, Stripes. But Adak was among the space criminals that broke out of Solar Prison.
Yeah, Adak, I remember him. He was a space hijacker and they caught him on Mars.
Yeah, that's right. Solar Court found him guilty and recommended that he be sent to a mental institution. But before they could transfer him there, he made the break.
Well, shouldn't we contact Commodore Patrick?
No, we can't risk it.
Yeah, but we have a closed circuit.
So did the Outlanders.
Huh?
When they broke prison, they forced the guard to blast off on an official solar ship. I'd be willing to bet they're tuned in on a closed circuit right now.
Oh, if that's the case, we could be in real trouble as soon as we set our ship down on Xyron. Well, our landing didn't seem to attract any attention to the natives, Skipper.
No. The soupy atmosphere around Xyron covered us.
Look, is Gail better?
It's hard to tell right now. She seems to be resting better.
You don't think the lack of oxygen destroyed any brain cells, do you?
We'll know in the next few hours. You'll stay here with us, Rice. Now, if for any reason I don't get back or if Gail gets worse, blast off for us.
Oh, I'd like to be able to help you, Skipper.
Gail needs your help right here now.
Okay, look, how are you going to keep people from recognizing you?
I brought Talon's headgear with me. I'm taking a small supply of oxygen capsules along. That way I'll be able to breathe inside the headpiece. Oh, help me out with the gear, will you?
All right, okay, here we go now. Over my head.
Do you think this will fool them, Stripes?
Jumping Jupiter. You even talk like a Zeronian.
Yeah. Now, as soon as I jump outside, seal the airlock and keep it sealed. Don't open it until you hear this signal. Got it?
Yeah, I got it. Well, good luck, Skipper.
Save you, Stripes.
Hope luck's enough.
What do you mean that part of the ray plans have been lost?
Talon take plans with him. Say he bring them back, but Talon not come back.
The ray machine has to be completed.
Can't make suggestion, that one.
Then what are you waiting for?
First must make agreement.
Oh, some payoff credit,
oh,
huh?
Yes, that one, yes.
Well, if I had time, I'd... All right, I'll pay. What's your price?
When that one is made ruler of Xyron, would like to be remembered for assisting him.
Well, then you recognize Adak as a leader, huh?
Oh, yes, that one.
Very well, you can have what you want. Now, what do you know?
Xyron, leave information on Ray Machine with Queen Nilo.
Yes, go on.
That one would not appreciate or understand information that Talon left. Information in ancient Xyron language. All people understand.
How do you know all this?
Do not ask how you learn your knowledge.
Very well. How do we get this information?
Take me to Queen Nilo. Leave me alone with her a short time. I get information.
How do I know you'll tell me the truth after you talk with Queen Nilo?
Would be afraid to not tell that one. We make... Bagan, I keep mine.
All right. I'll see that you're left alone with Queen Nilo for 30 minutes. If you can't get the information we need, then I'll get it my way.
Who are you? I do not know you.
But I know of you, Queen Nilo.
Is this another one of Adak's tricks?
This isn't a trick, Queen Nilo. I came to star the space fleet from Earth.
I do not understand.
Just a minute.
Why do you bolt the door?
I haven't much time to explain. I found your brother's ship in space, and he told me about the ray machine and the Outlanders.
Is Talon alive?
No, and I'm sorry.
Then Adak killed him.
Yes. We can't do anything for Talon, but we can stop Adak.
But what can I do, Captain Starr? Adak is holding me a prisoner.
Adak doesn't trust me. He's back sooner than he promised. Now, look, we must hurry. Stand over by the door. As soon as Adak walks into the room, I'll grab him and you close the door. Do you understand?
Yes. But what do we do then?
Leave that to me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Unlock the door.
Close it! God, I'm opening the way in! What
work. You know it was me all the time.
Oh, no, I didn't. I must admit that you had me fooled until...
Until what?
Until my men picked up two of your friends.
Spike. Skipper, I couldn't help it.
My men were rather rough with them, especially around the face, as you can see. Take them both away. You'll remain here in your room, Queen Nilo. You still have a few hours left to make your decision.
Well, they used some sort of special ray gun on the ship's door that melted it down. I tried to fight them, Skipper, but there are too many. Oh, they really worked me over.
What'd they do with you?
Oh, Adak sent her to the hospital.
Oh, I'm thankful for that.
At least he told one of the guards to take her there.
If anything happens to Gail, I'll have no wild wife. I can't do anything in here.
I guess we sort of threw a bunker wrench into the works, didn't we?
It couldn't be helped, Stripes. Forget it. How do you feel? Oh,
like one of those ancient Ubangi natives, you know, the one with the big lips.
One of the cell blocks is moving.
Yeah, and if it is, somebody's moving it. They don't move by themselves.
I'll get on one side. Get on the other.
Right. Hey, it's Queen Nilo.
We're right here.
By a hole in the wall.
Don't count your blessings until they've arrived. So this is the chance, though. Come on, Stripes.
I know.
Here comes Adak.
I say no more, Skipper. I owe him something, and I'm just itching to pay it back. Let me do it.
Very good, Stripes. Very good.
Don't mention it, Skipper. That one's on me.
I'll pick him up and revive him.
Right.
Adak has to pass him through his guards at the building where the ray machine is being made. I want you to go to the hospital and make sure that Gail is all right.
Right.
Oh, Queen Nilo?
Yes.
As soon as we're outside, get some of your people and have them take over here. Oh, there aren't many of Adak's men here, are there?
Most of them are at the Ray plant.
Good. We'll leave as soon as Stripes brings Adak around.
Now, that may be some time, sir. I gave him that extra special payment plan. You know, the one with the punch. I was telling you, Commodore Bradford, we captured Adak and all of his men, and the ray machine has been turned over to Solar Federation. The ray machine will make it possible for new things that will help the people of the universe.
And how is Gail Archer?
Gail Archer? Ah, she's fine. Fit as a Martian kitten, and as pretty, I might add. Well, it's good to be home again, sir. At least we'll be home soon, and we'll establish an orbit as soon as you assign us a berth to land in. Huh? That completes the report, Skipper.
Well, it sounded good, Stripes, but did it really happen the way you said it did?
What do you mean? We caught Adak, we stopped the ray production, and Queen Nilo got her command back.
You mean her people?
Yeah, her people.
And we got Gail back.
Well, she never left us, did she?
And I never will. If I can't take Captain Starr and Cadet Sergeant Stripes with me, I'm not going.
You know, there's one thing that bothers me, Skipper.
Yeah, what's that, Spence?
Well, I know the people on Xyron had to wear those weird headgears because their breathing apparatus was inside of them.
So, what's your problem?
Well, it isn't exactly a problem. It's not my problem, anyway. It's a problem of the people who live on Xyron.
And that is?
Well, that is, with all that equipment covering their faces, how do they steal a kiss or two?
Well, a good question, Spence. Let me answer it with another question.
All right, go ahead.
If you had to live on Xyron, and if you had to wear all that headgear, how could you steal a kiss?
I see what you mean. In other words, where there's a will, there's a way.
Always, right, so.
Captain Star of the Space Fleet is based on characters created by Tom Hubbard and written for radio by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggert. John Larch is heard as Captain Star, Jane Harlan as Gail Archer, and Tom Hubbard as Cadet Sergeant Stripes. Captain Star comes to you transcribed from Hollywood.
Man, listen to that sweet old ship go. Now, that's what I call real flying. How do I know? Well, there's not much about pilots and aviation I don't know. So put down your flaps and level off for a little hangar flying, because, buddy, you're talking to the granddaddy of them all, the gray-haired wonder. Flying over the front during World War I in our rickety little two- or three-seater planes, we felt sure we were covering ourselves with glory, that military aviation had reached its ultimate limit, its final perfection. That was then. We couldn't have imagined military aviation in terms of anything other than offensive-defensive operations and observation. How surprised we would have been to learn that military aircraft would one day be used extensively and effectively to transport troops and supplies to the battle area. Used as a long-range ambulance transporting wounded troops from field hospitals directly to base hospitals in the United States, thus ensuring prompt treatment and preventing hospital overcrowding. Used also as short-range ambulances, helicopter ambulances, transporting the wounded directly from the battle lines to field hospitals, as submarine spotters and destroyers, and as liaison contacts. When it comes to developing every possible use for military aircraft, man, you got the best doggone Air Force in the world.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Well, folks, that was Captain Star of Space and Queen Nilo Incident. I don't know the air date, though. I found a few other shows of Captain Star of Space, and they all had the date of 1953. That's all I can tell you. But I want to tell you something else interesting. Joy Jackson, who does the American Radio Theater, remakes old-time radio shows that don't exist. She finds a script for the show and gets her actors and herself in making a nice recording of the show so that you and I can enjoy these lost programs. Well, if you search on radiooutofthepast.org and you type the word space in the search box, go down a few choices and you'll eventually find Rocky Star. I believe it says Rocky Star and then it says The Mystery Planet. Basically, it's from September 3rd, 2015. So do a search for that show. You'll enjoy it. If you have problems finding it, well, talk to one of us on the program and we'll help you find the file because it's quite a good show that Joy did. So, let's go on with our next radio program here. Thumbs up and a smiling, hearty hello to Joy Jackson. Joy, you always do a good job with your scripts and your reenactments of shows and stories. Hooray to you and everyone involved in the American Radio Theater. And I love all the music you put in there, too, that you play from some of the shows. Now, here's our next show. It is called X-1 and The Trap. Joy, I dedicate that one to you because you said you liked that show, so why not enjoy it? It was aired on February the 13th, 1957.
Countdown for blast-off. X-5... 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, The Trap by Finn O'Donovan.
Samish, I am in need of some assistance.
The situation is potentially dangerous, so come at once. It shows how right you were, Samish, old friend. I never should have trusted a Terran. What a sorry mess, Samish. And the plot seemed so foolproof.
Hey, Thurston. Thurston, get up.
Mm.
Get up. Come on.
Why? What's the matter? Why?
Come on. It's daybreak.
Now, there's good news. Let me alone.
Oh, come on. You don't want to sleep through our vacation. The bird's on the wing.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
5 o'clock in the morning in the Adirondacks is the middle of the day.
What's the weather out?
Well, it's raining.
For crying out loud.
Oh, don't go back to sleep.
It always rains on the first day of vacation. Rule of nature.
Look, I got a little fly rod with a new plastic reel that I'm just dying to try.
You know what the trouble with you is, Ed? You're in love with sporting goods equipment.
Oh, now, wait till you see this rod.
You take that rifle I sold you. You could shoot a rhinoceros with it, but you won't, because, Ed, you're essentially a friendly man.
The trouble with you is you don't like the woods.
Well, how can you say that? Don't I come with you on a hunting trip every year?
Sure, but you always manage to steer us over to Lake Placid to the cocktail lounges.
Ah, now there's real hunting. Now, there are trophies to bring back to the city. None of your paltry brown bears or black bears.
Oh, come on. Now, Thurston, I came up here to the mountains to hunt.
Have a drink.
Well, it's awfully early in the morning.
Well, look upon it as an extension of last night.
Well, all right. Think it'll stop raining?
No, who cares?
Well, come on now. Get dressed. It's a perfect day out there in the woods for bear.
It certainly is. That's why I want to stay right here in the cabin. Ed.
What?
Pass the canteen?
It's empty.
Well, open up one of the bottles and pour it in.
Why don't you take it straight from the bottle?
What, on a camping trip? Pour it into the canteen.
Okay.
Hey. Now, this is what I call a hunting trip.
Well, you haven't been outside the cabin. Oh, come on, Thurston. Can't we go out just to hunt something, even if it's just a little rabbit? Look. It stopped raining.
Close the door. Now, you let some of the fumes out. Did you fill that canteen yet?
Hey, look at this.
What?
Right by the door.
How many times have I told you not to leave your collapsible cook stove where I can step on it in the night?
It isn't.
What is it?
I don't know. It's made out of metal. It's just sitting here in the doorway. It says, trap on the top.
What?
Trap.
Where'd you buy that?
I didn't.
Well, I certainly didn't.
Hey, there's a tag on it. Dear friend, this is a new and revolutionary design in a trap. To introduce the trap to the general public, we are giving you this model absolutely free. You will find it a unique and valuable device for the capture of small game, provided you follow precisely the directions on the other side. Good luck and good hunting. Well, now, what do you think of that?
Pass me the canteen.
If this isn't the strangest thing, do you suppose it was left during the night?
Who cares?
Well, aren't you interested?
Not particularly. Just another gadget. I've got 100 like it. My bear trap from Abercrombie and Fitch, the jaguar horn from Battlers, the crocodile lure.
Well, I've never seen a trap like this. It's pretty clever advertising to just leave it here.
I'll bill you for it eventually. You care for the canteen?
Oh, thanks. Hey, look at this thing, Thurston.
Do I have to?
Well, there are instructions on the other side. Quote. Take the trap to a clearing and anchor it to any convenient tree with the attached chain. Mm-hmm. Here's the chain, all right. Press button 1 on the base. This primes the trap. Wait 5 seconds and press button 2. This activates the trap. Nothing more is required until a capture has been effected. Then press button 3 to deactivate and open the trap and remove the prey. Warning. Keep the trap closed at all times, except when removing the prey.
That's goofy.
No opening is required for the prey's ingress, since the trap works on the principle of osmotic suction and inducts the prey directly into the trap.
Well, somebody's been at that canteen before.
No, that's what it says. What won't they think of next? Osmotic suction.
Pass the canteen back.
I'm going to set it.
What, the canteen?
No, the trap. Come on, help me.
Ah, now that's the trouble with you, Ed. You're always cluttering up a hunting trip with hunting.
Come on, take this in.
All right. If it makes you any happier. Hey, boy, it's cold.
Come on, we'll carry it over to that tree.
It's heavy.
Yeah. Here, let's put it down here.
You think we really ought to fool with it?
Of course. Maybe we can catch a fox.
What will we do with a fox?
Turn it loose. The fun is in the catching. Here, take the end of the chain.
Hey, look out. You got your foot in it.
Yeah, I guess it snaps in here. Oh, there it is.
Let's get back to the cabin. The great outdoors depresses me.
Wait a minute. I've got to press button one.
Hey, it's glowing.
Yeah. 3, 4, 5. Now button two.
Well?
Well, I guess we just leave it.
Well, come on back to the cabin.
All right. It is time for breakfast.
It certainly is. Pass it to me and don't spill it.
Samish, where are you? You are my oldest friend. I have already been due the beginning of my story. The Terrans accepted my trap as a trap, nothing more, and they began using it at once with no thought as to the consequences. I had counted on this. The fantastic curiosity of the species is well known. During this period, my wife was crawling giddily around the planetoid, redecorating our hutch and enjoying the change from city life. Everything was going well.
Ed.
What?
It's your turn.
Okay, here we go. Ready on the right.
Ready on the left.
The flag is up.
The flag is waving.
Target's up.
You missed.
Oh, Thurston, couldn't we just pull the cork out instead of trying to shoot off the neck?
Why, certainly not. This is a hunting trip. You can pull a cork off in the city.
I have often corked off in the city.
Ed, why don't you shut your trap?
Trap? Why don't... Thurston, the trap.
What about it?
Maybe we caught something. Come on.
Where are you going?
The trap. There, look. We got something. We've caught something. Come on, look inside.
What is it, huh?
It's a rabbit.
You sure?
Well, look at it.
That is not exactly a rabbit, Ed.
It's the size of a rabbit.
But it's bright green. Ed, no more rum before breakfast.
No, siree.
Starting tomorrow, hand me the canteen.
What do you think it is?
Could be a rabbit.
Green? With lobster claws? And eyes on stalks?
Well, then again, it might not be a rabbit.
I think it's a new species. We'll have to build a cage and then find out what it eats.
As long as it doesn't drink. You don't suppose it drinks, does it?
No. It doesn't look like a drinking type.
Now, Ed, I'm not going to share my vacation with a green rabbit with lobster claws. Probably has dirty habits. There's something very unnatural about that trap. It's inhuman.
I'll bet they said that about Ford's electric light and Edison's car and the telephone invented by Alexander's ragtime band.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, sure. I saw the movie. Come on. We'll build a cage and then we'll set the trap again.
Okay, but we better go back to the cabin.
What for?
We better refill that canteen.
Why haven't you come yet? Samish, don't you appreciate the seriousness of my situation? Think of your old friend. Think of the lustrous-skinned Fregel for whose sake I got into this mess. Communicate with me, at least. The Terrans used a trap, which, of course, was not a trap at all, but a matter transmitter. I had the other end concealed on the planetoid and fed into it 3 small animals which I found in the garden. The Terrans removed them from the transmitter each time. For what purpose, I couldn't guess, but a Terran will keep anything. after the third beast passed through and had not been returned, I knew that was all, and that everything was in readiness, so I prepared for the fourth and final sending, the all-important one, for which all else was mere preparation.
Ouch. Well, that finishes the cage.
You know what?
No. What?
Those things smell, all three of them.
Oh, I think they're very handsome. Well, here they are, one, two, and three. First, our green rabbit. Next, our bird with three sets of scaly wings. And this other thing, what does it look like?
Well, it looks like a snake, except it has a head at each end. They eat anything yet?
No, I've tried milk, mincemeat, vegetables, caviar, potato chips. They haven't touched a thing.
Maybe they're sick. Hey, what are you keeping them for?
Well, they might come in handy someday.
Well, yeah, what for?
Thurston, have you ever desired fame?
What?
Fame. The knowledge that your name will go down through the ages.
I am a businessman. I've never considered the possibility.
Never?
What do you have in mind?
These creatures are unique.
And they smell.
We'll present them to a museum. The Daily Thurston Exhibit of Creatures Hitherto Unknown.
They might name them after us. Our names will go down with Livingston, Audubon, Teddy Roosevelt, Walt Disney.
I was thinking of a wing on the Museum of Natural History that would go right across Central Park West. The Daily Thurston Wing.
Thurston Daily.
That's not alphabetical.
That's true, that's true. But, Ed, we only got three of them. We can't equip a wing with three exhibits.
Well, there must be more where these came from. Let's examine the trap.
Just a minute.
The canteen?
The canteen.
We've got something. There it is. Look, it's about 3 feet tall. A big one.
Uh-huh. A small green head and a forked tail.
Oh, look at him, waving something on top of his head.
Well, the rest were quiet. Maybe this one's dangerous. Huh?
We'll handle it with nuts.
Nuts?
Well, nets.
Oh, nuts.
All right. And then we'll have to get in touch with the museum. Thurston, take a telegram.
All righty.
Museum of Natural History. Dear sir.
Or madam.
Have discovered at least 4 animals, which I suspect to be new species stop. Have you room for suitable exhibit stop? Signed, your friend Ed.
Wasn't that signature pretty informal?
You're right. Make it, your good friend Ed.
We better go back and build a cage for this latest one. It looks awfully exciting.
I think we'll make this one strong. Oh, this last specimen is the cream of our collection. Look at it. Its head is turning pink.
It looks mad, doesn't it?
Well, you'd be mad, too, if you were trapped by osmotic suction.
Say that again.
Osmotic suction.
Here, you take the canteen. I'm way ahead of you.
What, Samish? The rest of the story? Well, it's obvious enough. After 3 animals had passed through the transmitter, I knew I was ready. Now was the time to tell my wife. Accordingly, I asked her to crawl into the garden with me. Tell me, dear, she said, has something been bothering you of late? Have I displeased you? My dear, I said, you have tried your best, but it just isn't good enough. I'm going to take a new mate. She stood motionless, her cilia swaying in confusion. Then she exclaimed, Fregel! Yes, I told her, the glorious Fregel has consented to share my hutch. And with a clever shove, I pushed her into the matter transmitter. Samish, you should have seen her expression. Her cilia wreathed, and she screamed and was gone. I was free, free at last. Free to mate with the splendid Fregel. Now you can appreciate the full perfection of the scheme. It was necessary to secure the Terrans' cooperation, since a matter transmitter must be manipulated at both ends. I had disguised it as a trap, because Terrans will believe anything. And, as a masterstroke, I sent them my wife. Let them try to live with her. I never could. Foolproof. Absolutely foolproof. No one could prove a thing. And then, Samish, then it happened.
Did you get the cage finished?
Yeah, our fourth animal is snug as a bug in a...
It doesn't matter.
Boy, it's a mad one, though. I couldn't help feeling it was trying to tell me something.
Come on. Here's a trap.
It's empty.
But it is. It's empty.
You suppose something's wrong with it?
Maybe there's nothing else to capture.
Oh, that's silly. Why would it capture four animals and then stop? I've pressed all the buttons in the right way.
Maybe the battery's down.
Osmotic suction doesn't work on batteries.
How do you know?
Did you ever hear of osmotic suction working on batteries?
No.
You see? There you are.
Well, you got something there. Oh, I know.
What?
Let's go to Lake Placid and forget the whole thing.
No, this thing's got to work. It's got to. The Thurston Daily wing of the American Museum of Natural History is at stake. Would you want that vast edifice across Central Park West to remain empty?
No.
Would you want the Daily Thurston wing to be rented for a garage?
Or a roller skating rink? Oh, horrors, no.
It's got to work again. I'm going to open the top.
Look out.
No, let's just see what's inside here. My hand. It's gone. My hand.
No, it isn't. It's right there on the end of your arm.
Oh. Well, when I put it in the trap, my hand disappeared.
You know what would do you a lot of good? A little rest in Lake Placid. I know a fine, restful cocktail lounge.
No. Look. I'll try it again with both arms. Ah, look. No hands.
Very clever.
I see how it works. Thurston, those animals didn't come from the Adirondacks at all.
You mean they're imposters?
They came from wherever my hand is.
Where's your hand?
I don't know. Do you realize there's a lot more where they came from? Thurston, the future of the Daily Thurston wing is assured. Give me a hand up.
And what are you going to do?
I'm climbing into the trap.
Don't do that. You don't know what's in there.
Here I go. There goes my feet.
Wait a minute. Here's a canteen. Let's have one for the road.
All right. Wish me luck.
I still don't think you should do it.
I do it for science and the Daily Thurston wing.
Why do you hold your nose?
I got sinus. Here I go!
Samish, if you don't come immediately, it'll be too late. I must stop beaming you. The enormous Terran has completely ransacked my little planetoid. He has shoved everything, living or dead, through the transmitter. My home is in ruins, and now he's tearing down my hutch. Samish, this monster means to capture me as a specimen. There's no time to lose. Samish, what can be keeping you? You, my oldest friend, you who... What's that? Samish, what are you saying? You can't mean it. No, not you and Friegel. Reconsider, my old friend. Remember our friendship.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features The Deep One by Neil P. Ruzick, a story which tells of a single mistake in the plan for survival, the biggest possible mistake. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Trap, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Finn O'Donovan and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in our cast were Donald Buca as The Voice, Ralph Bell as Thurston, and William Redfield as Ed. This is Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. The world on a new hotline. Listen for news on the hour in the exciting hotline service all day, every day on most of these stations.
Well, folks, that was X-1 and The Trap, as aired on February the 13th, 1957. Now, folks, it's time for our final show. What I like about this program is that it involves something that we may or may not trust, something from space. And yet, there's a lot of good in this program. And let's just say, you might say it's too sappy, but what's wrong with a bit of mushy sentimentality, I ask you? Especially when there's a scientific, or should we say, science fiction element. Well, let's hear it now. It's X-1 and Field Study. It's aired on February the 20th, 1957.
Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of a future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, Field Study by Peter Phillips.
You might put down that newspaper for just a minute, Frank.
Oh, of course, dear. So this is good coffee, honey.
Now, what is it going to be? That's what I want to know. Overtime or that big night out you promised me?
Well, I just can't say for sure, honey. I'll phone you during the day.
Look, you've been working on that Mitchell embezzlement for 3 months, day and night. Now that it's over, I think you'd want to celebrate.
Well, I do, dear, I do. But I don't know just what this new assignment will involve.
Oh, this is it. This is absolutely the end. You can change your job or change your wife, Frank.
Oh, no,
honey. I thought I married a man, not an accounting machine.
I guess I do seem like an accounting machine to Betty sometimes. Maybe she should have married a different kind of guy. Someone who likes to go out dancing and to parties all the time. And who has some kind of romantic career. The quiet life she had with me made her tense and nervous. No, more than that, neurotic. Actually, the work I did was rather interesting, although she didn't feel that way about it. Being an investigator for the accountancy branch isn't exactly like being one of those detectives as smart as Einstein and as tough as Marciano, but we do get into some unusual situations. And now there was this new assignment the chief had given me.
All I want you to do is see him, Frankie. You can be normally curious, but that's all. If you question him, make it simple. And if he gets cagey, cut it out. You're not going as an agent. You're just an errand boy. Take what he hands out and bring it back. Get on it right away.
Although I got there early, the waiting room was filled with about 40 people. 40 people who seemed to have everything from Parkinson's disease to muscular atrophy. In 40 years, I'd never had anything wrong with me but a post-nasal drip, but I was prepared with the symptoms of an obscure ailment. I didn't have an appointment, but I had hardly sat down when the receptionist came over and ushered me into the office.
I'll be with you in just a moment. Please sit down.
Oh, thank you. This is good of you, Doctor, but I was perfectly willing to wait my turn.
Well, I'm entitled to use my own discretion. You're an interesting case. And please don't call me Doctor. In the healing profession, that title's reserved for those who have taken the Hippocratic Oath. My name is Trancor. Mm-hmm.
You said I'm an interesting case. How do you know about my case? You've never seen me before.
My receptionist has intuitive diagnostic ability. Now, what are your symptoms?
It seems you should be able to tell me.
Well, let's say the recital is part of the treatment. But if you'd rather not bother, just take this capsule in water.
But this is ridiculous. How do I know?
You don't. I make no claims. You can take the capsule or leave it. How many tokens, how much money do you have with you?
Now, listen, Doctor.
No, I'm not a doctor. How much?
Oh, about $50, I suppose.
Give me $25 for the capsule, which you take on faith, if you take it. Well?
All right, I'll take it. I'm afraid that's all there is to report, Chief.
It's all right. All we really wanted was the capsule.
Have you gotten the report?
Yes, and it took the laboratory 5 hours to break it down. Just a harmless protean solution. Two other investigators got the same thing.
What about the genuine patients?
They get a solution of water and a vegetable dye. They're both useless, but when he spots an investigator, he tries to give our lab men a headache.
Well, if he prescribes useless medicines, can't Trancor be booked for fraud?
Oh, he doesn't make any claims for the blaster thing.
How come he's on our level? Why the accountancy branch?
Could be anybody's case. But every time a direct law enforcement agency has tried to investigate, the man has disappeared. They think we may be more discreet.
What else do we know?
A great deal. And then again, nothing. We have reports from law agencies and medical societies in London, Paris, Berlin, and Prague. Oh, that reminds me. Miss Hance, please ask Sir Greville to come in now. He sets up in business. Word of his cures gets around, he becomes a sensation, and then disappears. Thank you for waiting, Sir Greville. This is Frank Paik, who will be in charge of our investigation.
How do you do?
Frank, this is Sir Greville Gray, chairman of the English Medical Association.
How do you do, sir?
Suppose you tell Paik your own experience with Trancor, Sir Greville.
Well, after conferring with my colleagues in other countries, I managed to have an interview with him when he set up shop in London. He's an impudent little devil. Called me the chief witch doctor. When I said we'd prosecute, he flatly denied that he practiced medicine at all.
What about the capsules?
He said he simply offered the capsules because people expected something material. He said it made no difference whether they took them or not. In a word, he disclaims everything, even success.
Perhaps legally he's in the clear.
You mentioned his success. Do you credit him with success?
I think he's a faker and a fraud. But some reputable doctors report that their own patients seem to have been cured of advanced leukemia, peritonitis, and appendicitis. That's why we must investigate these fantastic rumors as a professional and public duty.
Just what do you want me to do, Chief?
Find out all you can. Have them watch. Check with patients and stay with it. He may disappear at any time.
This is a fine time for an assignment like this. My wife is about ready to get a psychiatrist or another husband.
I'm sorry, Frankie, but you're the only one I can trust on a thing like this, and it shouldn't take long.
Okay, Chief. You have a cigarette? Mine seem to be all gone.
No wonder. You smoked half a dozen while we've been talking. Yeah.
Thanks. I guess I do smoke too much. Probably what causes this post-nasal drip that... Say, that's funny.
What?
My head is cleared up. My nasal drip is gone. Since I saw Trancor this morning.
Yeah? Oh, it probably cleared up by itself.
But I've had it for years. Well, I hope you're right. Now, look, sweetheart, I know I practically promised, but I can't make it tonight.
I've been hearing that over and over.
But, darling, this is a special case. It's detective work. The police are helping me.
Oh, so you think you're a real G-man now, huh? A big, tough hero running around with a bottle of rye and a blonde.
Oh, now, sweetie.
Listen, hero, I hope they shoot first. I'm through.
Oh, it's nothing like that, honey. Now, you're just upset and unreasonable. But look, I'll try to be home early. I'll call
Don't
you.
Don't bother. I won't be here. I heard from an old school friend today and said since you're going to be busy, I may as well go out.
Oh, but baby, listen...
I'll see you around town. And if you do get home early, don't wait up.
I was alone in the office all evening, thinking about Betty, thinking about Trancor. I remembered Betty's crack about a bottle of rye, so I called the liquor store and had them send up a pint. Every now and then I got a call from a detective saying they were still watching the office. Then there was a call from another detective saying that he had picked up Trancor at the entrance of the office building and trailed him to a hotel just off Broadway. I took down the number and was about to leave when the first detective called again. He said they were still waiting at the office door and that there was still no sign of Trancor. I didn't try to explain. I didn't want to think about it. What could I say? That he flew out the window? I took another drink of rye and went to the hotel. As I got there, a figure came out of the building. I wasn't sure, but I followed him.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Pegg. How are your nasal passages?
Fine, thank you. I mean, yes, they're better.
Walk with me, won't you? But first signal your policeman that he needn't follow us.
All right. All right, now tell me something, will you? Am I mad?
No, you're more sane than most. Your higher critical centers are momentarily dulled by fatigue and alcohol, giving full rein to your intuition. An endearing quality when allied with imagination. The saving grace, indeed, of your race.
You're from India, aren't you?
Trancor is a good Indian name. Incidentally, fatigue is a disease.
But don't cure me. I don't want to wake up. Let me close my eyes a minute. Are you still here?
Did you expect me to disappear? I could quite easily, by convincing you of my non-presence, as I did when I walked past those men outside my office. Don't you want to ask me some questions?
Maybe I do, but why do you want to answer them? Or you figure I'm harmless, huh? Like my wife does.
By no means. I went about to conclude my own particular investigation and say that you were most dangerous to me. Your imagination is quite highly developed.
You know, all of a sudden, I'm not drunk at all anymore. And I need a drink. Come on, let's go in here.
Very well.
A double rye, please.
The same. Just leave the bottle. Ah, that's better. I was thirsty.
You drank half the bottle.
I make sure to eliminate the poisons in the alcohol, thus the toxic effects. As a rule, I don't drink, but when in Rome...
Wait a minute. I remember reading a story once. You're from the future.
Your imagination deserves something better than comic strips to work on. It's fascinating, but depressing to see science negated by superstition. Your concept of time is the greatest superstition.
Well, now let's go back. You did cure my post-nasal drip, didn't you?
The infection was cured by your body. I helped. I can't tell you how unless you have 500 years to spare.
Well, I don't. I haven't got 12 hours to spare, if I'm to save my job and my reputation, or my wife. But I do need some answers to a pretty lengthy questionnaire. Who, when, what, why, and where?
You're convinced I'm a telepath?
Well, aren't you?
Not in your sense of the term. When you came into my waiting room, I knew you were not there as a patient. Your presence was in disharmony. As for your name and occupation, they naturally blaze so clearly on the surface of your mind that even your native clairvoyance could read the information.
Well, that takes a load off my mind. Are you too big for me to understand?
We'll see. I'm just looking at that girl over there. What a pity. 3/4 of her right lung is gone.
Yeah? Well, you could put her right.
Well, I could stop the infection. But she would return to that back room full of smoke and dust. She'd still travel on a crowded subway to an overheated office. She'd still starve herself to buy clothes to keep in fashion. I don't have a cure for those things.
Well, that's the first time I've heard you admit you have a cure for anything. What are you, Mr. Trancor?
A healer. That is my profession.
Why do you bother to do anything?
Even a healer must eat, you know. And field research is expensive. course, I could obviously earn sufficient of your tokens for subsistence by gambling. But that would not be ethical. You could teach. What? Run afoul of your witch doctors? Besides, these techniques have taken me 500 years to learn.
Well, that's why I thought...
That I was from the future? Well, I might be, in terms of possibility. We are no older than you are as a race, in terms of universal evolution, but as individuals, we are longer lived. The biggest single advance you will make as a race will be when you increase the lifespan of the individual.
You could help us.
We could, but that must be achieved by your own efforts.
Are we so contemptible in your eyes?
Of course not. Would we study you if you were? Our architects, our musicians, even our fiction writers do field work in this territory and write scholarly theses when they return. Anthropology, in our sense of the term, embraces all the arts and sciences. We're scholars. Occasionally, we innovate, and you benefit.
Why do you want to tell me this?
Frankly, I like you. You have imagination enough to control your terrestrial chauvinism, your natural resentment of being studied. It may comfort you to know that in the physical sciences, your race is considered quite well advanced.
Well, thank you. And come to think of it, I do resent being a bug under your microscope. I hate it. I could kill you.
But you won't. Others would. Now you understand why our visits are unannounced. Will be until all men are as essentially civilized, that is to say, non-aggressive, as you are.
How do you come here?
I know what you're wondering. But no, I don't have a spaceship garaged anywhere. You see, we don't travel. We arrive. Afraid the distinction is not clear to you, but it'll have to do. Now, I must go to work. I have only 8 hours. Will you be my guide?
What do you want to see?
The city at play in the pre-dawn hours.
I think my wife would suit you better in the role of a guide. She's playing pretty hard right now.
And this situation makes you unhappy?
Well, yes, of course it does. I guess I'm not overly emotional, but I do love Betty. I want her to be happy. With me. Oh, she frets and nags, and she's hard to please, but she's not really like that. She keeps herself busy with trivial things. It's as if she were afraid of important things.
And what are the important things?
Well, I don't know exactly. Helping people some way or other, I guess.
You have any idea where your wife might be?
Well, there are a couple of nightclubs she likes.
Could we go there a little later? No, don't worry. I promise there'll be no unpleasant consequences if we meet. But now, let's get going.
We made the early morning rounds of Manhattan. The bars, nightclubs, penny arcades. We played a pinball machine, and I watched the steel ball hit the prize number 25 times. We quit bowling after his second straight 300 game, and I didn't even bother to pick up a cue in the billiard parlor. Then we went to the Clover Club, where I saw Betty at a table in a low, low-cut evening gown. She was sitting with a big, curly-haired guy who looked like an ex-football player who was wearing shoulder pads under his jacket.
You see her?
Yes, there she is, in that practically non-existent dress. Would you consider me uncivilized if I poked that big dope in the eye?
Let's go over. And remember, you're not altogether without blame in this development. You make insufficient allowance for her. You're reasonably well-adjusted. She is not.
Hi, Betty.
Frankie, where did you come from?
Who's your friend?
Excuse me, please. I have to make a phone call.
Frankie, please get me a cab so I can go home.
Go home? All right, dear.
I'll be waiting for you. Hurry as soon as you can. I mean, when you're finished with your work.
It's beautiful here, watching the lights on the river. How do you feel?
My head is clear, but I'm a little drunk from the neck down. It's like a dream.
I wish sometimes I could escape reality so easily by imparting to it the patina of a dream. You can all do that. I almost envy you.
Look, the dawn is coming up. The stars are fading.
Yes. It's time for me to say goodbye, Mr. Pake.
Can you... Can you at least tell me which star?
You haven't seen it or named it yet. Promise to take care of Mr. Trancor for me, won't you? Make sure that he gets safely home. Find his address in this pocket.
Goodbye, Mr. Trancor.
Yes. Goodbye.
That's the way it happened, Chief. The body collapsed in my arms there on the bridge. When it came to, the man was Chandra Trancor, a second-rate doctor who disappeared from Madras 10 months ago.
How do you expect anyone to believe that?
Those doctors and cops can examine the poor devil till they drive him crazy, but he can't tell them anything. He has less idea where he's been these past 10 months than they have.
How do you explain it?
I don't. And I'd like you to hurry through my resignation, Chief.
That's what you want.
I want to be free to take legal action for Trancor if those witch doctors have him arrested on some phony charge. I'll take personal responsibility for seeing him home to India.
You don't have to resign. I'll fix special leave if you insist on being crazy.
Well, that's not all, though, Chief. You see, I'm taking an intensive 2-year course for a new career.
Yes, you told me. I thought you were drunk. What's Betty going to think of a fool idea like that? If her nerves are on edge now, this is enough to drive anyone daffy.
No. She's all for it. She really is. After all, a neurosis is a disease, and she met Trancor.
Well, all right. Let me know how you're getting along. Letter from Pake, Miss Hance. From the Mabello Medical Mission, Upper Congo. It's been 3 years since we heard from Pake. This is probably the most backward tribe mentally and physically in all
Africa. Some trouble with the witch doctors at first, but they're beginning to trust me, with Betty's help. The women here love her, and she finds the tribal customs fascinating. Watch out for my name in the Anthropological Review.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Operation Stinky by Clifford D. Simak. What is man's best friend? The answer was so vital that every possible resource that could be found had to be poured into this one great project. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, X-1 has brought you Field Study, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Peter Phillips and adapted for radio by Jack Wilson. Featured in our cast were Terry Keane, Les Damon, Santos Ortega, Alfred Shirley, and Kermit Murdoch. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. Can you identify the NBC Bandstand Jingle Jangler? He or she is a famous personality, and you may win $1,000 if you can identify him. To enter the NBC Bandstand Jingle Jangler contest, send a postcard with your name and address and phone number to NBC Bandstand, Box 515, New York, 19, New York. Enter today. NBC takes you across the nation, around the world, with news on the hour and the hotline service all day, every day on most of these stations.
Well, folks, that was our last radio program for tonight. X-1, Field Study, from February the 20th, 1957. I really enjoyed playing these old-time radio shows for you folks, and I want to say that the last two shows I did in sequential order because I was intending to do the Field Study show as our second program and then playing The Trap as the third show. I'm like, why should I reverse them? They're already written down here, 1 week after another. So let's give everybody a nice feeling of camaraderie and normality by playing the shows in order. Plus, it's kind of fun to hear all the antics and the drinking in the Trapped show. And then the sort of sentimental, mushy slash intrigue type feelings in the field study program. And what I like about the second show is aliens are, you know, seen in a lot of sci-fi novels. Sometimes they're seen as good, sometimes they're seen as evil and malevolent and bad. This story shows a lot of good from the alien, but there's something a bit bad, and that is the alien has to use somebody to do its work. And hopefully that someone can get back to wherever they came from, you know. This poor doctor is going to wonder if he fell asleep in a bar drinking and how the heck he ended up halfway across the world or more. Maybe not. Maybe he'll just wake up and submit himself to the funny farm until he gets back to India. I don't know. It's a really nice end, though, and I like it. But boy, oh boy, it's kind of a weird story, too. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with a lot of my rambling. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. I enjoyed playing these old-time radio shows for you. And hey, give the American Radio Theater, ART, AmericanRadioTheater.org, give it a chance, because it's a good production and a good show. Peace out, and have a good day.
Okay, Mad Max, thanks a lot. Think we need to shut down the war rig and park it for tonight. That's going to be it, ladies and gentlemen. We are done. So, as Mad Max finishes up shutting down the studio and putting all the equipment away, I am going to do what I do best, and that is wrap it up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, we will be back again. We're not going anywhere because the broadcast season is young, and we've got the rest of the year ahead of us. As usual, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, don't come to me, but in fact, go to Miguel Amaro, the MSS director. He can be found at mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, great weekend, and goodbye.